Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Now to Pastor Chris.
Welcome back to Proverbs, our last day at the Wisdom Roundtable. Chapter 31 is a classic for women's ministry, the wife of noble character. So it seemed only right to invite the women back to the table to discuss this one, my beautiful and noble wife of 21 years. Andrea, welcome back.
So sweet. Glad to be back.
And our good friend and noble wife to my friend and Pastor Jeff Wilson. Bethany Wilson is here again. Welcome back, Bethany.
Thank you.
Well, it is good to have two moms in the studio because this was, in fact, written by a mom. It begins, "The sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him." So the chapter, the grand finale of Proverbs, are prophetic words from a mom. An important reminder that several women in the Bible were prophetesses, speaking God's word to the people, and in this case, to a son. Now, we don't know who King Lemuel is. Some say another name for Solomon, but I have my doubts on that one. But no matter, the salient point is this is life advice from God through a mom to a young man with an important destiny to lead a people. "Listen, my son. Listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son, the answer to my prayers." And from verse 10 to the end, we have a poem, each line in Hebrew beginning with successive letters. Lemuel's mom wanted him to remember. It begins, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies." Now, what follows is a powerful description of a good wife. Now, I want to make clear what this is and what this isn't. I believe this is still mom talking, and she wants her son to marry well. She wants him to choose wisely and look past charm and beauty and see character. And see that a good wife is worth more than all the riches you'll ever work for. Now, what this is not, I don't believe that this is a manifesto for every wife to follow to a T. The danger of this chapter is presenting this woman as a standard by which a wife can compare and shame herself. In Christ, we are not called to a life of shame. So what do you think? How do we avoid reading it that way?
Yes, I think it's important that we don't bring our insecurities to this chapter and try to measure up against this woman like we do far too often in our lives, comparing ourselves to others. We've got to approach this by abiding in Christ, confident that our identity is found in him, rather than see here how we fail to measure up. See what God is making us to be. Christ in us, the hope of glory, hope for who we are becoming.
And we also need to see that this is a portrait of one virtuous woman, not the blueprints for the only virtuous woman. Every woman is different, and God honors our individuality. This woman is a role model, not a cookie cutter. And I don't believe that this chapter is an average 24 hours of any human being, because it would be impossible.
It would be impossible. Up early, late, working late at night, never stop working, and do everything in one day.
Right.
No, that's not what this is. That's good. And the first verse that strikes me is verse 11. "Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value." In other words, he trusts her. And how full is the heart of a man who can trust fully in his wife? And what follows, what I see, is that a husband's trust empowers a wife. The noble woman in these verses is industrious, hardworking, faithful, diligent, compassionate, entrepreneurial, and her husband has full confidence in her. He doesn't second guess. She buys a field, he trusts her. In the biblical roles for a husband and wife, it's essential that we recognize what is biblical mandate and what is tradition and culture. The husband is the head of the wife, a picture of Christ, Ephesians 5. But headship does not mean controlling. It means empowering. And headship should not force roles of breadwinner and housewife. That stuff is tradition, and it can work well, but every house is different. Men, you are the captain, but the team captain is not always the point guard. You can trust her with the ball, because verse 12 says, "She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life." If she's a good woman, she is for you, so trust her. Now, let's walk through this picture. What do you see about this woman?
Well, starting in verse 13, she is hardworking and industrious. She buys material, works with it, sells, starts early, and provides food for her family.
Now, I have to acknowledge here that my mom was the breadwinner in our house, and she worked hard for years to provide for us. My mom is amazing. And here verse 16 says, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Mm-hmm. That verse strikes me because buying a field is a major decision, and her husband trusts her to make that decision on her own. And he doesn't undermine her authority.
Right. And in verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously. She's diligent and strong. She trades her goods and she puts her hands to work.
And in verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor. She's compassionate and generous. And in 21, when it snows, she has no fear for her household. In other words, she's prepared. Mm-hmm. A tough winter doesn't scare her. And I think for mom, this is important. When you have a baby, this little fragile, helpless soul entrusted to your care, fear can become overwhelming. Mm-hmm. There's so many dangers. But in Christ, we are called to be strong and courageous. Mm-hmm.
Verse 23 says, her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. And the city gates was where civic business was handled. And this is, I just see this as like the power couple when we're talking about these two. Not because of their wealth or position makes them the power couple, but because they seek to fulfill the roles God has given them, and in turn, they have an honorable testimony to others. A wife who is diligent and faithful in her God-given role makes it easy for her husband to do his job well. When you love someone, you want them to succeed in what the Lord has called them to do. And when you extend that love and grace by ironing a shirt or taking a phone call for your husband, hosting a dinner with a boss, making your home a soft place for your husband to land at the end of the day, you're helping him succeed.
I have to add, one of a husband's deepest needs is for his wife to believe in him, to trust him. And respect is the language of that trust. He's respected at home. Here he's respected in the city gate. Now back to the wife. Verse 25 says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Now, I know my wife loves this verse. So, Andrea, what is the strength and how is she clothed with it?
So the woman who is clothed in strength and dignity knows that she's not all that, but in Christ, she is confident that she is growing and that he is molding her. Mm-hmm. That is her source of strength. That is her dignity. She doesn't get caught up in insecurities because she knows that she doesn't have to be more than enough, that she is enough. She who abides in Christ knows that she is being conformed into his image and can therefore just let go of her own failings and cheer on those around her who are doing great and have grace with those who are struggling. Knowing who she is to me the definition of dignity. And it's not a dignity that she has to put on to look like she has it all together, but it's a humility and an honesty coupled with love for others. Mm-hmm. It's having self-confidence while having the confidence of others.
Mm-hmm. In verse 26, she speaks with wisdom. Husband, listen to your wife. Faithful instruction, it says. She's a good teacher. 27 shows us her authority and responsibility in the household. She watches over the affairs of the house, and she's not lazy. And in 28, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Men, take note, he praises her. Say nice things to your wife and about your wife. She earns it. Don't just feel it. Use words out loud. Kids, same for you. And I can read the next verse wholeheartedly about my bride. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all.
Aww, so sweet.
No offense, Bethany. I know that Jeff speaks very highly of you.
None taken, but it's true. A woman who is praised by those she serves desires to serve them more. And round the energizing cycle goes, serving and encouraging each other.
That's a good picture. And then in verse 30, mom wraps it all up for her son to make sure he's looking for the right girl. Charm is deceptive. Those little sparks of chemistry you get, son, don't get fooled by the magic show. Women can lie. And beauty is fleeting. Son, she may be pretty now, but we're talking about a lifetime together, and it doesn't last. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And there is the source of this woman's remarkable wisdom and industry. And so Proverbs ends where it began, the fear of the Lord. For any woman who aspires to be this wife of noble character, this is step one. And for any man who wants to marry her, this is what you look for, the fear of the Lord. And if you find her, verse 31, honor her for all that her hands have done. Husband, give your wife credit. Trust her, empower her, and for goodness sake, honor the work she does. And let her works bring her praise at the city gate. When you're in town, when you're at church, when someone gives you credit, acknowledge the woman who made it possible. And while I'm here, this is my city gate. I want to tell the world a lot of people say nice things about me for Through the Word, and I appreciate that. But they don't know about my wife. They don't know the work, the perseverance. Through the Word exists because my wife never gave up on me, never stopped believing in me. 9 side jobs, 10 moves, living out of suitcases, and she held us together. True story. She schooled our kids, planned our days, and kept life fun. And I should also say that Bethany is a pretty amazing woman, and I considered reading a note from Jeff or something like that, but I thought it would be weird. So Jeff will have to find his own city gate. And that is it for the book of Proverbs. Thank you, ladies, for sharing your wisdom. I will see the rest of you in the next book.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.